All right, well, welcome back. And at this time, we'd like to open it up to you. And if you have any questions of anything you would like to discuss or know more about on how to work with your team, please, give us your questions in the chat room or however you can do that.
Okay.
So, Daniel, is there any questions?
Yes. I have. So far, we have two questions.
Good.
And so we're going to get along just fine. So Valerie was curious to know if there are any guides that can help work with household issues, specifically clearing mold from the basement instead of using chemicals.
Ah, okay. So, utilizing guides for energetic cleaning and transformation that has impact into the physical plane. Yes, this can work. It can work. There's a certain complication with this particular theme of mold in the basement, and that mold does have its own intelligence, so to speak. It is a life form, and you don't really ask the guides to go and kill a life form or destroy another life form. They don't tend to want to do that. That's not really part of their work. However, what they can do is there are two things they can do. One is that they can energetically protect you from the negative impact, or people living in the house from the negative impact of the mold a bit, but they want you to be able to negotiate, in a sense, with and work with the themes and messages and whatever that comes with the life form that mold is, which is generally fungus, and there can be bacteria and all sorts of stuff all mixed up in there, and deal with the message of that. Most people, if they can get an energetic clearing where they don't feel the effects of the mold, that can be really substantial. However, overall, there is what you might say, an environmental, ecological reason for the mold. And the mold is fulfilling a function in the ecosystem that is absolutely necessary and is part of the plan. So so the only way that really suggests that you work with this is that first that you do what you can with the guides to protect you, to surround you with light, and energetically keep shifting your energy so that you're not as affected by it. But at the same time, you're going to have to, knowing that it is a destruction process, and there's creation and destruction as part of the ecosystem, is that you want to bring in oxygen, which is like bringing in light into the darkness. And it's interesting, it's in the basement. That's definitely a dark place. And to bring light in there, and you do it through oxygen, and you can do it through hydrogen peroxide, you can do it through some kind of agent that is more naturally occurring. We would suggest that if there's some way to use hydrogen peroxide rather than toxic chemicals, we would recommend that. If there's any way of using oxygen, even airborne oxygen, it might be a bit too expensive to do that, but if there's a way to do that, then we would recommend that. That's much more natural in the ecosystem. Generally, the balance on the planet between the molds and so forth is and keeping them in balance is the oxygen. And that's also something that's important for you as well, or whoever is living in the house, to have air purifiers on and to have some way of creating oxygen for themselves so that their air is clean in the process. Now, this may or may not work. We don't know of pest control companies or whoever that do remediation that really use oxygen. But if there are, then that would be really good. Very often they don't do that because oxygen is like a bleach, and it can discolor things. So they generally go with chemicals. If there is no way to deal with the oxygen or to get it to really work and get around in there and so on, maybe you're going to have to do it with the toxic chemicals. If you do it with the toxic chemicals, you also then very much need to have ventilation. You very much need to have air purifiers on, and you very much need to ask your guides to support your breathing and your life processes while that goes on, because any toxic chemicals are, of course, messengers of death, you know. So you don't want to have death spreading around too much in the house. You want to keep it confined, in a sense, to the basement until it's cleared out. So we would suggest that the amount of effort that it would take for you to the stretching and expansion that it would take for you to get to to get to the place to where you could do all of this through energetic means with the work of the guides, it may be a bit too much, and you may just in the meantime you not to expose yourself for so long to this thing, and you may just want to go ahead and do that, and then follow up once it's cleaned out. Follow up with hydrogen peroxide, and so that it kind of detox and clean the place. And afterwards, if you can do that, then that could possibly work as well. So, but we suggest don't spend too much time trying to do something when you've got something that can really damage health going on big time. So it's something to take care of quickly and soon. So if you can know how to negotiate with the mold, and you can negotiate with your guides, and you have that level of support, then perhaps you can get something done sooner. But in this case, we would probably recommend going the usual way after you've done a little bit of work, trying to find maybe some kind of alternative way to deal with it. Okay?
Okay. So the next question is from Lynn, and she wants to know, how do you learn to trust the answers, the guidance that you get?
Okay. Learning to trust really starts with a certain awareness and a decision. The awareness is that the intention of the guides is to give you the information that you need and that's really right for you, okay? To understand that that's the foundation of what's going on. And the only thing that can really interfere with that is your negative ego. If your ego is like, I don't know this stuff, and therefore it's not important, or I don't know this stuff, so I'll never know this stuff, and so therefore I'm not going to deal with it, or, oh my gosh, if I make a mistake, oh, I'm going to beat myself up, and I can screw myself up, oh my gosh, not really. You don't, like we said before, you don't want to go and ask the guides for humongous, big, life-changing decisions right away. If you don't really feel comfortable and trust that you're going to get a good enough answer from your guides, or you're going to get a certain sense of message or a certain idea that is good for you, then you have to start with something small. So that's inconsequential, you know, like I'm going to drive to the supermarket. Okay, shall I take, I can drive around the back way, that's Route A, okay, but I can drive on the main street and that's Route B. So you can ask your mundane guides, would it be better to drive one way or the other? And see if you can kind of get a sense of which way to go. Now, we understand that it may not matter, and you could get that answer too. Okay. So just start with something rather inconsequential, little things. And little things that come up. Should I eat now? Should I should I call this person now to deal with that issue? Should I wait? You know, those kinds of things. Just kind of ask stuff like that. That, in a way, if you got the wrong answer, it wouldn't mess your life up. Okay, because you need to take the charge of significance, the weight off of getting the answers. Because it's the pressure on getting the answers and feeling that you're incompetent and that you could make mistakes and that this could be bad for you and or that you just reinforce the idea that you're stupid or whatever it is. Whatever game you got going on in your head, it would just reinforce that. So the first thing is to know that the intention is that the information's going to be useful for you. Okay. The second one is to make the decision and to let your guides know, look, whatever I get, whatever message I get, whatever answer I get, I'm just going to trust it. I'm just going to go with it. Okay. So I'm just letting you know, I'm really committed to learning how to get the message and I'm going to take action on whatever it is I get. Well, what that does is send a message to your guides that, oh, she's actually serious. We don't have to just, you know, say whatever. We don't even have to let the subconscious come in and say the usual. Or we don't, and in a sense also, this kind of negates and counter and neutralizes the negative ego, which would want to have it to be important and there to be a significance hanging on it. Basically, you're just going to say, I'm just going to do whatever it is I get. So you ask, you get something. Now you can sit there and think, I'm not getting anything. Well, of course, you're not set up to get anything if you're saying that. So when you ask the guides, you just want to see if you can go blank. You can go blank, but tune in as you go blank within yourself. Then begin to tune in to this intention that it's all going to be okay, that everything's going according to plan, and it's all going to turn out well. So give yourself that thought. Give yourself that and think about that. Feel, what does that feel like to feel the love and the support that it's all going to turn out okay, it's all going according to plan, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. Now, once again, go blank, receive, see if you can get it, and ask the question again, and then wait. Maybe you need to put your hand on your belly and say, okay, what does the still small voice say? What's the first thing that comes to your mind without you editing it or evaluating it, whether it's right or wrong or good or bad or smart or stupid? Just what's the first sense that comes? Take it. Whatever the first sense is, don't try to evaluate it. Don't try to elaborate on it. Just, oh, okay, it's that. It's going to seem so insignificant. It's going to seem so quiet, so little, that you may just really feel, was that actually anything? Yes, it was. And if you'll then say, okay, that's what I got. That's the first thing I got. I'm going to act on it. If you do that, if you really do that, you're going to find that not only does your intuition improve radically to where you can get answers to things throughout your day without having to go through some ritual of asking the guides, you just go and you just kind of click into your and sink into the guides and ask the question and then just kind of sense it, just allow it to come, like you're just asking yourself a question, and just let it come and start paying attention to that small voice. Pay attention to that initial hunch that's so weak. You think it could not possibly be it, but yes, it is. Okay, now, if you actually follow that and you do that, your guides are going to say, Yahoo! All right, you know, she's going with her gut. She's going with the what she's getting. She's actually committed to acting on what she's getting. So as soon as they realize that, they're able then to start attuning you and they together so that you get more and more accurate answers. Even if some of the first ones may not be all that accurate, at least they're not consequential in merely messing you up. But just after a while, you'll start to get the hang of it. And then you'll just basically say, I just choose, I decide, I'm just going to trust it. I'm going to decide that this is what it is. I'm not going to evaluate it, analyze it, figure it out. Is it? Question it? Did I get the right information? How would I know? I'm not going to go through all that mind talk. I'm going to just say, okay, this is what I'm getting. I'm going to follow up on that. I'm going to elaborate on that into what I can do, where I want to go next, and how do I want to do it. This is really how people who develop their psychic ability, people who develop any kind of ability, at some point they just, okay, this is it. I'm just going to trust what comes. I'm going to trust what I'm doing. I'm going to say, okay, this is what I get. This is what I get. Okay, so when you do that, all right, then your guides can start working on making it more and more accurate. And after a while, you'll be amazed at how well you do. And when you do something that really comes through right, it's like, yeah, you'll feel a rush. There's a click. Ah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Now, you'll also experience times when you'll get that little first hint and you'll negate it. And then some logical answer will come through and you'll follow the logical answer and you'll see that it doesn't work out as well. Don't kick yourself. You've been trained to go for the logical answer. So this, you have to break the training, right? So if you do that and you realize, oh gosh, I didn't go with my first hunch. I didn't go with that. I went with the logic and that didn't really work as well as I would have liked it. Don't regret. Don't be sad. Don't feel disappointed in yourself. Don't, you know, criticize, judge, or analyze yourself or whatever. Or have to go back into your childhood process. Oh, well, you know, my mother said this or my father said this or whatever. And I ever since, I've just haven't trusted my own intuition, blah, blah, blah. Don't go into drama, okay? What you do is if you realize, oh, I went with the logic. I didn't go with the intuition. Just say, okay, well, I choose in the future that I'm going to be more aware and I'm going to choose more my intuitional hint. I'm going to allow myself to listen to that still small voice, to get that little tiny tweak of a hunch and amplify that. I'm going to work on that. Okay, and if you do get that sense that that logic has not worked as well, you've really made a big breakthrough in realizing where the truth really lies in you, and where your connection really lies. You'll get it at some point that you become really so, you'll become very confident. You know, the channel did that when she learned astrology, and at one point she just, okay, this is what I get, so this is what I'm going to do. When you put, you know, Saturn and Mars together and Leo, this is what happens. And she kind of started getting the connections, which are intuitional links, and hunches, and she started to get pretty good. So we'd recommend to take that approach. Okay? Thank you for that question.
Okay, so another question that has come up here from Jay is, what are some of the benefits our guides receive in working with us?
Ah, very good. What benefits the guides get? Well, the guides grow. When they help you grow, they grow. And part of the greatest amount of growth that any spiritual being does is on how to give to others, not in a martyrhood kind of way, not in a sacrificial kind of way, not in an obligatory or duty kind of way, but how to give from love. And when you humans give from love, you grow greater. When you love others and you give love to others, you grow. So when they help you, they're giving love to you unconditionally. They're learning how to do that, unconditionally loving you, unconditionally supporting you, unconditionally giving to you. Now, since they don't have bodies, basically they have limitless energy, since they're not bordered by time, space. So they don't have the same tiredness that humans have if they do too much giving. But you could learn, as a human being, how to give love from your heart to into the world, to areas where there's filled with despair and pain and suffering, how to give wonderful compassion and love to those areas. And it makes you bigger. One of the things that Lynn McTaggart found in her Power of Eight groups was that when the eight people got together, and one was singled out for healing, and the other seven sent the healing to this one that was chosen, that the greatest benefit sometimes came to the seven who were giving the healing and were not getting anything for themselves. So it's part of divine service, which actually expands the self, right? So that's the main thing that they get out of it. It's a huge spiritual benefit, and they are at the level where they're able to do that, in a sense, full time. And this enables them to evolve up through the planes and the dimensions really, really fast. So they're very excited to do that. And they also love to see how, by their support of you, how you do and so on. And it's like, yeah, that was good. You know, that was, we did something good. Look, we participated. We helped to get that happening. We helped to get that going. We did something good here. And so there's a kind of a celebration that they have every time you have a success, utilizing their energy and so on. So it's so much fun for them. And it's also so rewarding from that spiritual evolutionary point of view. So basically, that's the benefit. It's a huge one.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay, so Jay has another question here.
Yes.
And that other question has to do whether you could talk a little bit more about the demons. He's got a book that talked about how angels keep demons in check, but he's not really quite certain, and therefore he would like to know how demons would trick him and how to be aware whether there's demons around or not.
Okay. Well, if you are working with your guides on a regular basis, you can ask them to support you and to protect you. And some of this protection will apply to demons. It applies to protecting you if someone else who is jealous of you, who wants to attack you, would try to do so. It helps you protect you against curses and all those kinds of things. But in dealing with demons directly, we would suggest, yes, angels can keep them in check. But if you deal with a demon directly, rather than having an angel as a go-between, then that's not. Then that puts a lot of pressure on you to stay very, very clear, very, very clear, and hold high resonance. Because, you see, demons will enter into a contract with people. We've known people who've worked with demons. The demons are the ones that are willing to intervene and do things to other people for the benefit of the one who is enlisting the aid of the demon. And the demon is all it says, you know, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, we're going to give you the other thing. And you say, I want that and I want this and so on. But the demon is not unconditional. The demon's very conditional. So they want a price and they're going to take it. And the price that they get from you is going to be either your power, or they're going to suck off your emotional body. You'll feel rage, you'll feel emptiness, you'll feel depression. They'll suck on you. There'll be too much drama. You'll be in too much pain and disappointment. They will suck on it. They will feed on that. They will go back on their word. They will say, we will do this, and then they won't do it if they don't feel like it. They are not integrous. They have no integrity, no responsibility. They do whatever they will, and they enjoy tricking people. They enjoy playing games with people and messing people up and go, ha 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 ha, look how much destruction I got out of it. It's almost like they brag with each other, you know. I really got this guy to shoot himself in the foot. Yay. You know, I'm better than you. They generally engage a person's negative ego. And we never encourage that whatsoever. So our suggestion is to avoid dealing with demons altogether. Now, if you are thinking about demons, that's almost like ringing a bell. Hello, ding, 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 ding. Come on, demons, over here. I'm thinking about you. If you think negative stuff about the demons, they love it. If you think positive stuff about the demons, they love it. If you even just think about demons, they love it. So you just want to, in a sense, to just not have demons around. You don't want to deal with all that. It's just takes a tremendous amount of power, your power and consciousness and holding your resonance, to be able to work successfully with demons, knowing that they go back on their word very easily. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they do, you know, they don't have any moral boundaries. And of course, that's why angels can hold them in check. Now, the only advantage to demons is that they have lots and lots of what we would call collective unconscious energy. They are actually birthed by pain, suffering, anger, rage, war, et cetera, in the world. And they're part of the collective unconscious. They're part of the darker part of the collective unconscious. They exist mainly on the astral plane, and so we refer to them as, you know, astral entities. And they can mimic all sorts of good things. They can mimic your higher self. They can pretend to be one of your guides, or positive guide. They can pretend. If you are not integrous in your energy, they can fool you. Okay, so our recommendation is to try to, in a sense, keep putting light around you, once you get interested in demons, you start attracting them. If you start looking at life through the filter of that they're angels and demons, and that the world's divided between angels and demons, you will see demons everywhere. And so the underlying energy of that is duality. Okay, good, evil, right? You've got good and you've got evil, right? And you've got light and you've got dark. You know, you've got good and bad. You've got right and wrong, and so on. As soon as you think about demons, you get stuck into that duality. Our recommendation is like, you know, you don't really need to connect with or work with demons. If you encounter somebody of great negativity, if you encounter a dark energy that appears to you to be sucking your power, sucking your light, sucking your juice out of you, then we would suggest you call on your guides for protection. You get protected. That's the first step. After protection, you need to expand your light, fill up your bubble of your greater energy field. Just fill it up. Seal your energy field. Really make it in a really good big bubble, real good and juicy big bubble. And in this big bubble, you will send light streaming out into the universe. And like we said, you know, the guides grow through loving, and that you can grow through loving and serving and loving. So you send your light out and you send it to the pain and suffering everywhere. At some point, you can also send it over to the demons. You send love and compassion for the demons, because most of the time the demons are the warped and twisted, painful pieces of consensus reality. And so you can send it into consensus reality and it will touch them. It's not that it will attract them. If you think about them, they are attracted to you. If you're curious about them, they're attracted to you. But if you send them love and compassion, and you send them healing energy, if they think you're foolish enough to fall for it, they'll show up. But if you're holding your resonance as the divine light being you are, they will recognize that you are keeping them in check, just like angels can do. So they won't bother you. But would really recommend staying away from them. This is the same thing as, Santeria and a lot of shamanic sending poison psychic darts and all that kind of revenge and stuff like that. They're into that. So you want to stay out of that as much as you can. Now, as far as angels that keep them in check, there are angels that do that, but they are like your guides. They are protecting, trying to protect those who are unconscious and unwitting of the dangers of the collective, so that these people can get onto their spiritual path and move to their next level. And so they're helping out. They're like guides. So what you want to do is that, and you have angels amongst your guides too. So what you may want to do is to talk to angels and call them in and ask them to dissolve and neutralize any demons that may be in your atmosphere. If you feel you're getting sucked energetically and by building up your energy field, you don't feel like you're doing enough, you engage the angels to do it, because they can do it a little bit better than you can. They're just all love. Angels are all just sweetness, light, and love. That's what they do. And so the light is so strong that it will dissolve and neutralize a lot of this negative astral energy. And so it will help heal. It will help heal the collective. It'll help heal the consensus on a minuscule level. But the amount of stress and engagement in the fight between good and evil and all that is something that we would say is not really that useful for you. in your spiritual path. And we're talking about you personally, but we're also talking about to everyone. It's really, for if you're on a spiritual path, why do you make it harder? You know, why do you test yourself? Don't even play around with that. Keep learning how to love. Keep learning how to be more, how to hold your resonance greater and greater. And then it will never turn up as an issue. And you won't ever have to feel, in a sense, face to face with the destructive and undermining energy of a demon. Okay? Thank you.
So Kat is curious to know if you can ask for a certain guide or to be on your team, or are they appointed by higher self or agreed upon before our incarnation?
All right. Well, if you feel a real strong connection to a particular ascended master or teacher, or you hear about this guy and you go, oh, wow, something really resonates in me. I want to connect with that guide. Then it's totally great to call that guide. You don't want your ego to call the guide. See, the ego may say, well, this is a hotshot guide and this will make me a hotshot metaphysician if I have that guide on my team. Now, we know that you probably are not there in that ego place, but be careful because it can slip in. Okay, we just say that because underneath it all, people are always trying to evaluate where they are on their path and whether they're better or less than other people and stuff, and this can show up. So if you feel called to a particular one, and it's like Saint Germain, for example, and you are in a metaphysical bookstore and you see pictures that you can buy, a picture of Saint Germain. Oh, how cool! So you buy a picture of Saint Germain and you put it on a little altar or a surface in your home. And then you call in Saint Germain, and just like we mentioned before, you call them in, and you look at his feet first. And even though you have an idea what he looks like from the painting, that's kind of similar to what a psychic would give you, that this is what this guide is like, this is what this person is like, this light being, this whatever ascended master is. So you want to get your own template for it, but you call the guide in, and you call in your higher self so that you have protection, because you don't want to call in, you know, an imposter. You want to call in that guide, right? And you may not have an idea on how to connect with the vibrational resonance of that particular guide. You just are wanting to do it. So you get your higher self, you get your guides around, and then you call that guide in, say Saint Germain in this example, and you just look at his feet, and then you go up and come up to the face. And it may or may not look like the picture. Give yourself the freedom to see it as you see it, or imagine it as you imagine it, or sense it as you sense it. Okay, and once again, you know, you say, okay, thank you for coming, and here's a gift for you, and you hand it over to him, and then he takes it and he hands you a gift. Okay, you connect. Okay, and you say, you know, most people call you Saint Germain. Is there a name that would be better for me to call you by? And, you know, you can ask that. Maybe you get something, maybe you don't, whatever. But do the same thing, you know, note what you give and note what you get, and thank them, and ask for a message, and what they give you has a message to it, and you figure that out, or ask if there's what the theme is, and you get that connection going. And that's totally fine, okay? Now, there are certain guides that are called universal guides. like Saint Germain is a universal guide. There's like ascended masters. They come through. They are channeled through numerous people all over the planet. And these are guides that you can ask for. These, and because they're universal guides, you can tap into them. Your personal guides, as we said, come in. Some of them come in through for your whole life. Your higher self, of course, is there for you the whole life. Other guides will come in during whatever phase of life you want. So you can also ask, you know, I'm going into this project. I'm going to write this book, or I'm going to put together this film or whatever. And so I ask for guides to come in to help me with this. If none of my guides currently are here to help me, I ask them to come in. Now, as we said earlier, the guides are not necessarily, they're not appointed. They're not appointed to you. This is a free will universe. They come freely of their own will. They choose you because there's some aspect of your spiritual path that they are resonating with. And we're talking about the ones that are not greater aspects of you. We're talking about like your more mundane guides. There are guides that are with you multiple lifetimes, like a spiritual teacher. If you have a spiritual teacher, a guru, who has initiated you into some tradition and so on, that may have been selected or chosen over multiple lifetimes. But most of the guides that show up are just here for you, and they're wanting to be here for you, and they love your energy, and they love your spark. They don't have to be told to do this. You're worth way too much. You're too bright of a light. Okay, so as your light is so bright, they will pre-select themselves. And you have some relationships with some of them from other times and places. For example, some of them may be spiritual family members. Some of them may be friends of yours from other lifetimes, or when you lived on other planetary galaxies or whatever. When you lived in other places, they were co-workers with you. They did metaphysical studies with you, or maybe they're part of your soul group and so on. If they are, you feel very strongly connected to them, and probably you know who they are. They're some of your most important guides as far as your day-to-day life. Now, several systems have different types of guides that are with people throughout their life. The Spiritualist Church has this whole six guide system. Shamanic cultures have similar guides. There's like the little joy guide, and there's the guide that works with that's kind of like the body guide, the anima. There's guides for spiritual connection, guides for career work, guides for, you know, whatever. And these come in very early, but you have to grow into them. And these are there for you. See, now, guides don't have time, so they don't wait. They never are waiting. It's not like they say, okay, I'm going to kick in when this person turns 21. They're not waiting. There's so much that's going on. So, but they will come and do whatever they want to do in coordination with your light. And some of them are agreed upon before you come into this life. Others just come in as you grow along. And others are part of your soul destiny that come from many lifetimes. So you've got all sorts of purposes. You've got all sorts of sources of guides. And but just the most important thing is to remember is that there is no set order and there's no hierarchy. See, most people think in terms of the old mystery schools, which are, again, they were all male-based. They were ranked. There was ranking. There was, and none of this is ranking anymore. This is, your evolution is moving through. It's part of the Aquarian age, being the individual within the group, and all are equal and all are one. And so when you're working with directly with God, God is all that is, even though you're not an equal, they're going to respect you and you're going to respect them, and it's you're going to work together in harmony. So it's with the respect of your level of will and truth and consciousness. So that's the important thing, is to know that these guides are reflective of where you're at. So the higher the level of frequency that you can be, more wonderful and fun and beautiful the guides are that you can play with. Not that when you get to a higher frequency that you drop off lower frequency guides. No, they're very happy to go to new levels with you. So they, the number of guides can just increase dramatically over your lifetime. So it's so flexible. It's so fluid. It's so easy to just, so allow it to be, and don't kind of try to put any order into it. It's a beloved, wonderful, juicy, creative chaos, and it's all loving and wonderful for you. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, so then here Sandra asks, if there's a shift taking place towards a more creative career, how do I engage my guides to help me further my career?
All right. Well, if you're going into a newer area of your career and it requires a certain amount of greater creativity, then essentially that is the spark of your will, or the spark of your choice, and the guides will be very responsive to that. If you are doing this new area of your career with a major motivation of making money, it may not work so well. The guides cannot work with you unless you're really open to living your life completely as the spiritual person you are, not as a material plane person would. The rules are different for you. So here you go into a new area of your career that offers you greater opportunities to be creative. What you want to do is you want to look at, okay, what kind of creativity do I want? Is it artistic? Is it music? Is it film? Is it organization? Is it dynamic recalibration? What type of creativity are you wanting in this new career level? And so whatever it is, you kind of focus on it and you go into meditation and you call in your guides and you ask your guides to help you with this, and maybe even bring in, if there's someone who can really specifically help you with your creativity, with your inspiration, with your intuition, with helping you find good ideas, and for them to click in, for them to be good. But know, though, that on the physical level, you have to grow too. You can't just let them do that. And as you know, this means that you have to learn how to channel creative ideas and creative things into action. You need to know how to move the energy into the physical plane and create in material reality. And they can help you get the flow going. They can help you get the energy moving there. They can start lining up opportunities for you. But you do have to be clear about your motivation And because that's such a key piece in being able to align yourself to a greater level of expression and success, we're actually going to do a seminar on the magic of true motivation. Because if your motivation is not true, it's not going to work no matter how many guides you've got with you. They can only work with what you have. And when you're in your true will and in your true motivation, it can work absolutely like magic and miracles. You know, the obstacles can melt away. Amazing things can happen. But if your motivation is tainted by ego concerns, by money stuff, by insecurities, by worries, by scarcity consciousness, by whatever it is, then you have to deal with that. So if they all come to help you and they move you forward, they may not, at first it may seem like you're going backwards. It may seem like you're getting setback after setback, and this will indicate you've got to go back and get your meditation. Get your motivation on straight. Okay, you got to get yourself clear so that you're in your true will, because it's your true will that your guides can do the greatest amount of manifestation and unfoldment and support for you. Okay, thank you.